From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Delighted that you've joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues studying the book of Joshua as he brings the next portion of a message entitled Godly Dedication. Before Dr. Cairns comes, please enjoy this devotional thought taken from C.H. Spurgeon's collection known as Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is Remind God of His Promise. The text is Genesis 32 and verse 12. And thou saidst, I will surely do thee good. This is the sure way of prevailing with the Lord in prayer. We may humbly remind Him of what He has said. Our faithful God will never run back from His word, nor will He leave it unfulfilled. Yet He loves to be inquired of by His people, and put in mind of His promise. This is refreshing to their memories, reviving to their faith, and renewing to their hope. God's word is given not for His sake, but for ours. His purposes are settled, and He needs nothing to bind Him to His design of doing His people good. But He gives the promise for our strengthening and comfort. Hence He wishes us to plead it, and say to Him, Thou saidst, I will surely do thee good is just the essence of all the Lord's gracious sayings. Lay a special stress on the word surely. He will do us good, real good, lasting good, only good, every good. He will make us good, and this is to do us good in the very highest degree. He will treat us as He does His saints while we are here, and that is good. He will soon take us to be with Jesus and all His chosen, and that is supremely good. With this promise in our hearts, we need not fear angry Esau nor anyone else. If the Lord will do us good, who can do us hurt?
For my sin He was wounded, for my guilt crucified, for my debt paid a ransom, for my straying He died, for my acts of rebellion, for my deeds full.
Thank you.
How often have you passed a church that displayed a sign which read revival during a given set of dates? Yet how many Christians in this age of megachurches and seeker-sensitive religion have the faintest idea of what constitutes revival in the scriptural sense? Down through the centuries, there have been remarkable visitations of God, during which thousands were gloriously saved. Times such as the Protestant Reformation, the revivals in England under John Wesley and George Whitefield, the Great Awakening in America associated with Jonathan Edwards, were times of genuine spiritual revival. The common factor in all of these events was an undeniable demonstration of the power of God rather than the ingenuity of man. In the early 1950s, such a revival occurred on the Isle of Lewis, one of the Hebrides off the west coast of Scotland. In the course of several years, hundreds of people were converted to Christ, and many churches were built to take care of them. Again, the Holy Spirit of God came down in power. The preacher during those days was the Reverend Duncan Campbell. Yet what took place on Lewis was not due to his pulpit skills, but to the overwhelming moving of God among the people. Strong men, hardened sinners who mocked the preacher, were suddenly struck to their knees by the roadside under conviction of sin. Young people in a local dance hall left their frivolity and ran to the churches, crying for mercy upon their souls. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make available CD copies of what happened during those revival times on the Isle of Lewis, including Duncan Campbell's own account of that, as well as personal testimonies of people who came to salvation in Jesus Christ during those revival times. To obtain your own copies of what happened at that time, just request the CDs of the Revival on the Isle of Lewis. You may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or if you wish, you may write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You will be blessed greatly as you listen to these accounts of the power of God at work. In Joshua chapter 22, Joshua addresses the tribes of Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh. Having fulfilled their promise to fight alongside the other tribes in the conquest of Canaan, these tribes were returning to their own lands on the east side of the Jordan. As they prepared to depart, Joshua encouraged them to remain faithful to the Lord. From this narrative, Dr. Cairns has been seeking to provide a pattern for individual Christians, as well as for the church at large. We've seen that the character of godly dedication is marked by a hearty obedience to the will of God. It also involves fighting the Lord's battles. These battles are fought on many fronts, but the first, and perhaps the most crucial battle, is against self. The fight also involves battling whatever would keep us from going on with God, as well as defending against doctrinal error and moral impurity. Another aspect of the battle is evangelism, leading others to enjoy what we have in Christ. In addition, we are to strive to maintain the unity of the brethren, avoiding unnecessary divisions about non-essentials. of utmost importance is consistency in our commitment to the cause of Christ, no matter what the circumstances. Now to continue this message, Godly Dedication, here is Dr. Cairns.
Division among God's people, a party spirit, an individualistic, arrogant spirit is hurtful to the cause of God. When God's people separate themselves from the rest of their brethren and they simply sit in splendid isolation, they are robbing themselves and they're robbing the church. They're robbing the testimony of Christ of much that is beneficial and useful. We are to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. The fifth element in this godly dedication is consistency of commitment to the Lord in every place and at every time. Look at verse 5. Take diligent heed to do the commandment and the law which Moses the servant of the Lord charged you, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all His ways, to keep His commandments, to cleave to Him, and serve Him with all your heart. What He's saying is, now you're going to the other side, Jordan. You're going to be far away. First of all, you're not going to be living in an atmosphere of crisis. The great battles that you've been fighting in are all over. Be careful to be as godly in peacetime as you were in wartime. Then you're going to be removed from the great body of the people of God here. You're going to be removed from the influences of strong and godly men. But be faithful to God in that faraway place. It would be very easy to slip. Moses had warned of this. He says when in Deuteronomy 8, verse 10, when you've eaten and are full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God. Beware that thou forget not the Lord. What is godly dedication? It is going on with God, whatever the circumstances. Now let me be very honest with you. Most people appear very spiritual when they're in trouble. One of the wickedest people, and has ever been my misfortune to come across, one of the foulest lives I've ever witnessed, yet could sound very spiritual when great trouble and approaching death touched that family. I have found again and again that when there's crisis, people then talk in terms of dedication to God. And oh, they're going to be faithful. But once the crisis is passed, then they forget those vows. They begin to slip. I spoke to a man, and I will be deliberately vague here, though he lives far from this place. I spoke to a man who was complaining some terrible things that had happened in his life. And they were terrible things. Burdens of an immense nature. Wondering, why would God send this to me? And I said to him what nobody else would say to him. Do you remember some years ago you were lying at the point of death and doctors knew nothing that would help you? They took in a new experimental drug and they said, we'll try it. Do you remember what you said to me at that time? God will spare my life. I will get right with God and I will serve Him. God did spare your life. You turned your back on Him. And now you complain. How easy it is to sound spiritual in crisis and then just to let it slip. I think every one of us has been there. I have no doubt that across this meeting there are people who can remember times when they were in great trouble and they lifted their heart to God and there was either implied or expressed that dedication of their soul to the Lord. But the crisis has passed, and what about your dedication? Wherever you are, wherever you go, consistency of commitment to the Lord is the essence of dedication to Him. In other words, this is not just a ping pong game where you're on one side of the net one day and another the other side of the net the next. It's not some sort of a yo-yo experience where I'm going on with God today but I'm backsliding tomorrow. This is to be a constant, consistent commitment of life and soul and time and talent, possession and position and everything we are and have, to say, here am I, redeemed by precious blood, belonging rightly to my Savior. I will, by the grace of God, through faith in Jesus Christ, as a reaction of love to all that He hath done for me, I will give all I am and have to Him. That's the character of godly dedication. Let me say a word about the cost of godly dedication. It comes out very clearly in this passage. Verse 4 would let us see that these people had left home and loved ones. They'd given up the best years of their lives. They'd forfeited the opportunity to pursue their own wealth. They'd subjected all self-interest to the cause of God. That's the ultimate cost of true dedication to God. The subjection of self-interest to the greater cause of Christ and to the glory of His name. That's the cost. Remember what Jesus said in Luke 14, 26 and 27, and then in verse 33, "If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, in his own life also, he cannot be my disciple." What does it mean to hate father, mother, wife, children? Look at these 2.5 tribes. That's what Jesus means. They didn't hate their family in the carnal or worldly sense of having some violent passion and aversion to them. No, that's not the hate that the Savior's talking about. But they had such a dedication to God. They had such an obedience to the revealed will of God. They had such a commitment to the cause of God that they put the Lord before home and father and mother and wife and children. That's what the Lord is talking about. "Whosoever," says Jesus, "doth not bear his cross and come after me, cannot be my disciple. Whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, cannot be my disciple." The cost of Christian discipleship, the cost of godly dedication. I don't know the will of God for you. I can't tell you in detail what the Lord will have you do. But I can tell you it may cost you everything to do it. At least it may appear so to do. God can take you and say, I want you to leave home and loved ones. Every Christian has to be willing for that. And every young man here starting out in life, every young woman would be best to get this plainly in mind. I'm a Christian first and foremost, and all the way through I'm called to serve my God. He may send me to the uttermost parts of the earth. He may take me and send me where I'm far from home and loved ones. He may call me to give up what the world thinks are the best years of my life and the best opportunity for furthering the gospel, or for furthering my own life, for the furtherance of the gospel. I think I've told you before, a doctor from Northern Ireland who served with the Acree Gospel Mission, which is a Northern Irish based mission working in Brazil. When the Brazilian consul in Liverpool looked at this man's qualifications, a brilliant surgeon, a young man with the medical world at his feet, and he saw that he wanted to go into what Brazilians call the Green Hell. That's their name for the forest regions of the Acre. He just shook his head and he said, why would a man like this bury himself in the Green Hell? Why? Because the Lord sent him there. And the churches, I think of the church especially in a little town called Tarawaka, the church are there, the lives that have been saved, the souls that have been saved, the families that have been saved, will stand for all eternity as an everlasting monument to the wisdom of obeying God. God may call you to do what the world says is costly. But I want to tell you, such sacrifice never does go unrewarded. For in verse 8, we have Joshua's reference to the crown of godly dedication. Return with very much riches unto your tents. Cattle and silver and gold and brass and iron and much raiment. Divide the spoil of your enemies with your brethren. These people not only were commended, Joshua didn't just simply pat them in the back and say, well now boys, you've done a good job. No, he did that. But he sent them home laden with the rich rewards of faithfulness. And let me tell you that it never really does cost, ultimately, to serve God.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.